Hi, this is Warwick Davis, and you're listening to the Friday Filibuster.
Everybody, and welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I am Judge David Johnson, joined by Judge Mac McIntyre.
Hello.
And back from his sabbatical, Judge Mike Rubino.
Hello there.
Now, where'd you go? Tibet? Was that what it was?
Yeah, I had a couple questions, and I couldn't find my cell phone to text anybody, so I had to go to Tibet.
Okay.
And climb the mountain.
Nice.
And ask the man on top.
And what did he say? Let me guess, it's turtles all the way down? Is that what his answer was? No.
It was left, what is it, up, down, left, right, start.
I knew it. Select, start. I knew it.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, we're here to kill just a little bit of your Friday before you get into the weekend. So let's get right to it. Mike, since we welcome you back with open arms, I'm certain there must be tons of stuff for you to report. So what do you have? Start with the most interesting thing first.
The most interesting thing first. Well.
And to mix it up, the lamest, boring thing second.
Okay. The most interesting thing will probably be that I have a really awesome couch.
Excellent.
In my new apartment.
That's right. You moved into the right into the heart of the Steel City, correct?
The heart of the Steel City. And I've got this new couch from IKEA that I've been talking about since I got it. I've been making this reference to a lot of people, and not very many people get it, but if there's a place that will get it, it's here. So,
okay.
Remember The Amazing Spider-Man and Friends with
– Oh, sure.
With Iceman and Firestorm, okay, that cartoon.
Firestar,
sorry.
Yeah, so there's not Howie Long.
No. So there's – in the opening credits of that cartoon – and in the cartoon itself, you know, Peter Parker and Mr. Iceman, whatever his name is, they're all hanging out in their college dorm or whatever that is. And then when trouble arises, they like tip over this football statue and everything in their apartment flips over and their table shifts down and turns into a computer and all this crime fighting equipment comes out. You know what I'm – have any idea what I'm talking about?
Well, I mean, not specifically, but it makes sense in the genre, in the context
yes.
of the genre. I can picture it.
Yeah. I totally know what you're talking about. Yes. I am right with you on that one.
That's – I knew it. I knew you wouldn't let me down, Mac. So that's what my couch does.
Whoa.
Specifically, there's a drawer in the front that you pull and a bed pops up. And it's got a little chaise lounge on the end that flips open and has storage in it.
So it's a transformer.
It is. It is a transforming IKEA couch.
Whoa.
And it is incredible, gentlemen. So it's a pain in the butt to transport. It comes in four gigantic boxes, and you have to put it together for a number of hours. But once it's together, it is something special.
Wow. Man, IKEA Prime.
It is. It is IKEA Prime. Optimus. Optimus Prime.
All right. Well, people may think that you actually switched it and decided to report the most boring thing in your life first, but no, not so.
No.
So what is the most mundane thing that you have to report?
That I was at the Penguins last game of the season when they lost in the playoffs.
Yeah.
That was pretty boring and mundane.
Yeah.
If you watched that game, it was a real bummer. So
3-1 lead, like kind of blew, and now.
Yeah.
Are you speaking of which? Now, who are you pulling for in the Eastern Conference Finals? If I may ask,
I would like to see. I'd like to see Tampa Bay go to the finals.
Really?
Yeah. I always. I mean, part of me is. You know, if the Penguins get beat, I'd like to see the team that beat them kind of go far.
Just say you lost to the best team.
Yeah, and you know, I don't know the Bruins. No offense, Mac, but the Bruins.
Know.
You know, they. I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of them, but I would actually – ideally, I would like Vancouver to win it all.
Uh-huh.
So I'm a – I like the Canucks.
So. Well, so that's really Bruins craziness up around here. So
lots of talk about the Bruins.
I know. They're no threat to you. They haven't won in like 50 years, right?
They're not really a problem. I kind of feel bad for them because the past couple years they've gotten into the playoffs and just blown it.
I know. Yeah. It's been – but they're looking pretty good and – I'd say Ginn Kid really lit it up last night. So, you know, playoff hockey is pretty great.
It is.
To say it's well, probably the best sporting action you'll find around playoff hockey. So, but okay, how about entertainment-wise? You get out to see anything in your time off?
Yes, I saw Thor.
Okay, very good. We talked a little bit of Thor. What was your verdict?
I was kind of lukewarm on it. I thought it was kind of, you know, it was enjoyable, but I thought all of the Asgard stuff was kind of boring.
Mm-hmm. So were you like me, where you just kind of oversaturated with CGI?
Yeah.
That was my problem. Action really did much for me because it was so CGI.
Yeah, I thought the direction was pretty generic. Like, I kind of expected more because it was Kenneth Branagh. Not that, like, he's a fantastic director or anything, but I thought he would have at least a little bit of different approach. But it felt to me like it could have been directed by anybody. And especially the action I thought was edited pretty terribly. Especially on Asgard. Now the stuff on Earth I thought was really fun and really enjoyable. And I just kept making me want to go back and watch that, Incredible Hulk TV movie where Thor shows up.
Return of the Incredible Hulk.
That's right. Return of the Incredible Hulk. Because it all kind of played out the exact same way. I mean, that's part of the charm of Thor, I guess, is he's like, kind of a jerk, kind of a fish out of water in Earth, and he's just figuring out how we humans live and everything. So I enjoyed all of that, and I enjoyed that giant robot that marched into town and blew up everything.
That's right.
And the impromptu Hawkeye cameo.
Yeah, that was actually my favorite action sequence when he's doing his little incursion into the NASA stronghold, because we've established that those NASA scientists are bastards.
Yes, yes.
Although I guess they're technically S.H.I.E.L.D., but whatever.
S.H.I.E.L.D., but whatever. It's all the same. I mean, so I was excited to see Hawkeye because I like Hawkeye a good bit. And, you know, this definitely felt like an incremental Avengers movie to me in terms of, like, we've got to – like, Thor's a big part of the Avengers, so we have to set all of that up and just keep people – like it felt like there were a ton of clues about the Avengers throughout this movie, whether they were shoehorned in or not. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, like I said, I thought it was okay, but I probably don't need to like see it again anytime soon.
All right, so I see this, and what is the movie that you are most anticipating right now on the summer docket?
Let's see. I don't know about a whole lot of movies that are coming out this summer, aside from Captain America. I'm a big... Is that coming out this summer?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay. I'm a big Captain America fan. I don't know when it's coming out, but I'm super excited about the Woody Allen movie that's coming, Midnight in Paris, which is getting really good reviews. Which is, I guess is not a summer blockbuster by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah, how does that tie into Avengers again?
Yeah. Well, there's a, you know, I'm sure the Avengers have some sort of nebbish secretary come in. I don't know. Is there anything else that I'm forgetting that's coming out this summer?
Got Green Lantern, Pirates of the Caribbean.
X-Men, Harry Potter.
Transformers 3.
Yeah, I guess none of those, except maybe X-Men.
That's right, X-Men.
Because I'm always, you know, I was a fan of the three X-Men movies to varying degrees, so. Now that's produced by a different, that's Fox, right? Like that's not going to tie in at all with anything, right? Except for like the X-Men stuff, like Marvel's.
Yeah,
not.
That's right. Fox does have those rights. So yeah, I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what their long-term vision is for the X-Men franchise. I mean, they're doing another Wolverine movie, I'm pretty sure.
That's
a grittier type of thing. So we'll see.
Yeah. So, but no, I think it'll be, oh, I guess I'm really looking forward to Super 8. That's a.
Oh yeah.
I don't know very much about it, but I'm intrigued. So.
All right. Well, anything else, Mike?
No, that's about it. I watched Sudden Death again recently.
Good, as well. You should. I mean, we're all waiting with bated breath for the Blu-ray release.
Is there? There's no word on that yet.
Not yet. Our sources hot on the trail.
As you say, my constant letters to the internet haven't brought about any.
It's made this happen. I mean, it was dumb luck just to find the widescreen version, but we know that there's a high def version somewhere because I've seen it on Encore high definition, the TV channel. So I've watched Sudden Death in high definition.
It's so good. It's out there.
It's out there. So yeah, that's the thing you hang your hat on. So, but
I will say this: I did watch another Pittsburgh movie, The Next 3 Days, with Russell Crowe.
Oh yeah, right. His wife's in prison.
Yeah, yeah. It had a really good idea, and it was an interesting movie. But Pittsburgh looks really good in it.
That's the most important.
That's what's most important to Pittsburghers, is that our city looks good. So
is it really Pittsburghers? Is that what the name of it? That's what you call your people?
Burgers? Yeah, that's what I call. I mean, people call them Yinzers.
I don't know what that means.
That's a little derogatory, gentlemen.
Okay.
No, people.
Pittsburghians.
Pittsburghians. I always call them Pittsburghers, but yeah. So yeah, I don't know if I would recommend that movie to everybody. I thought it was pretty cool, but I tell you who kills in that movie is Liam Neeson. He doesn't literally kill anybody, but he shows up for one scene and he tears it up. He eats that scene for breakfast.
Very nice. All right, well, hey, if we can even get a sniff of his character from Taken, we'll take it wherever we see it. So
exactly.
All right, well, how about you, Mac? I know we took to the airwaves on Friday to kind of heap some praise on the Smallville finale. I will say the follow-up from that does seem to be kind of a polarizing thing. Like, people either love it or hate it. There's not much middle ground.
Right, and that's kind of true of the series overall, I would think.
But, it was a lot of, 10 years for that type of thing. You know? I mean, it's like,
yeah.
I mean, after year four and you're just not liking it, why do you even bother sticking with it, you know?
A lot of complaints were like, you know, it took him 2 hours to decide to, you know, stop a planet from destroying the Earth. Couldn't you have just done that right from the beginning? But no, I, you know, really got a kick out of the Smallville finale. It was really great. But in terms of we're in season finale, you know, mode right now.
That's right. And I heard big things happened with Castle, correct?
Yes, that's what I was going to say, is that, you know, I'm not even sure I can make it to the end of this podcast because I'm still in shock over the Castle season finale.
Wow.
It was that huge. Because, you know, as much as that final shot in the Smallville season finale was, like, so exciting, Castle blew Smallville out of the water with its finale. So it's like I want to, like, build a time machine right now and just jump right ahead to September because I have to know what happens. It was that huge.
Are they actually competing genres, though, to be honest?
well, maybe a little.
I mean, can you compare, like, the cast finale to, like, you know, How I Met Your Mother, Survivor, maybe? Yeah,
Well, no. In Castle, life and death is on the line, and there's a conspiracy afoot, and so, you know, there's some, you know, it's got some geek cred going on. But and as you remember, I'm on Facebook now, and the one thing I found about Facebook is that there are other people besides me who like Castle, so they are out there.
You know? Oh,
that's, if you saw The Social Network, you'll know that that's actually why that website was invented.
That's right. Yes.
For Castle.
The fans of Castle. Yeah.
They had no way prior to that of getting in touch with each other.
I don't want to spoil anything because you guys got to start from the beginning. But man, it was just a punch to the gut that cliffhanger was. So and the whole episode was really well done. There was a huge action scene right at the beginning with a big shootout in a courtroom, and it was just filmed really excellently. And actress Stana Katic, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, was really amazing throughout. And if there's any justice and goodness and rightness in the world, she'll definitely get the Emmy nomination this year. But I don't know. I have bad luck with the Emmys and shows that I like. But, man, just such a good show. I'm so excited. And if all that weren't enough, this fall we're also getting the first Castle graphic novel.
Wow.
So really? There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When's CastleCon?
I should organize it. I should have it.
Pull it together. Make it happen.
Yeah, I host.
Do some Castle cosplay.
No, there's a dude online who made a Castle Halloween costume.
What does that entail?
He has. If you watch the show, you know that all the cops have their bulletproof vests that say police on them, and Castle's special ordered a bulletproof vest for himself, but instead of police, it says writer.
Ah, nice.
And there's a guy on the internet who actually made his own bulletproof vest with that says writer on the front of it, and he wore it for Halloween.
All right. Well, it sounds like there's a whole subculture that you can penetrate there.
Yes. I'm going to hold CastleCon right here in my living room and
So let me ask you the same question I asked Mike. What's your most anticipated movie of the summer right now?
Well, you know, you guys were kind of lukewarm about Thor, but man, I really enjoyed it. I can't help myself. I just really
stand up for what you believe in, Mac. Yeah. That's what the show's about.
I had a lot of fun with the movie. I've seen it 3 times now.
3? Wow.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just really exciting. It just gets me pumped up, you know, Thor and Asgard, and man, you're just hitting my buttons with that. Beyond Thor, I don't know, Captain America, I'm cautiously optimistic. I really hope they can pull it off. X-Men, same thing. That all the trailers look really cheesy, but I'm hoping that, you know, the story is...
It helps that it's like a period piece, though. I like that it's set in the 60s, you know?
You think so? Yeah,
yeah, I think that's so cool.
I think Havoc is going to nuke a bunch of hippies.
Don't you mean the commies? The evil...
That's right, the commies. All right, screw those guys.
It's kind of the same.
That's right.
Yeah, I love those old Stanley comics from the 60s where it's like the Russian dictator is like swilling his vodka going like, oh, those Americans will never be as great as us communists.
Nice. Now, what happened to that? What happened to those kind of, you know, those villains? Jeez. Now it's all pharmaceutical companies or NASA. So what is it? The Captain America, you think? Green Lantern hold any interest for you?
Green Lantern, maybe. I mean, that again, going just by the ads, it looks like just CGI everything.
Yeah, that's true.
Which makes me a little nervous. Yeah, so we'll see. But again, it's what the fans want. You know, you see Green Lantern, the fans want the outer space stuff, and the fans want the Green Lantern core.
Yeah, that movie's not happening in a it's not going to be practically done with costumes and makeup and stuff, you know?
Right. So, and Martin Campbell, you know? So
that's right.
Part of me says, you know, trust Martin Campbell. I mean, the dude has reinvented James Bond twice in our lifetime. So
it's true. For the better.
So, yeah, so he's the man. So again, cautiously optimistic. Super 8, I can't help but think that, you know, the sort of retro Spielberg vibe is going to I think they're going to really pull it off. It looks to me like they're going to do it. At least I really got my fingers crossed for that one. But that's coming from me, for someone who really digs the whole the retro Spielberg vibe, the classic Amblin thing. That reminds me, there was something. Okay, we're gonna come back to this because I gotta look it up real quick. But there's something huge on the horizon. But let's see. Yeah, so I guess that's my my big summer preview thing there.
Yeah, very nice.
I'll see Harry Potter.
Oh, that's right. That's coming up too.
And same weekend as Captain America, which is going to be pretty competitive.
All right. Let's see. Nothing finale-wise. Let's see. Obviously, talk Smallville. Wrapping up, the Community finale was pretty cool. Enjoyed that one a great deal. We're going to have the Parks and Rec wrap up and The Office as well. I have no idea what they're going to do with The Office. It'll be interesting. I heard some murmurings that might be Ed Helms taking over. Since he's really kind of built some credibility, star credibility, you know, with his Hangover movies and whatnot. I mean, I can't imagine it'll be any of the guest stars that they're bringing in. You know, it's not going to be Gervais or Jim Carrey or anyone. So I guess that'd be my bet. At Helms, that's my call for the Office boss.
There was rumors about Will Arnett.
Will Arnett, yeah, but he's doing a pilot. He signed on for some kind of pilot series pilot. So, like, I like Arnett too. So, that'd be a pretty sweet doubleheader with him and his wife, you know, on Parks and Rec, which was
very true.
2 episodes last week. Some Jean Ralphio action is always appreciated, you know, and the Snake Hole Lounge always good. And some primo Ron Swanson material going on last week. Just fantastic. Ron Swanson endorses only 3 items. You know, the government-issued mustache trimmer, Morton salt, and a knife sharpener. We've established that already. But for my most anticipated movie, it was, and I'll admit that, you know, I'm a glutton for punishment, but I am psyched for Transformers 3. I can't help it. Can't help it. Can't get away from it. Peter Collins' voice.
Did you hear that Michael Bay has offered money to anybody who can find those 2 racist robots?
Oh, really?
That's right. If you can
What did he say?
He's like, I promise they're not in there. But if anybody, so if anybody finds them in there, I will pay you like $25,000.
Nice, that's awesome. See, that's the thing. I mean, at least the guy recognizes how crappy the second one was. Like, he says it. Yeah, you know, it sucks. So fine. So maybe this is the Transformers movie I've been waiting for, but I can't help it. I'm a sucker for that. But anyway, so that's up there, and I'll admit to that. You know, I admit to my lameness there. However, the movie that I'm most anticipating is a movie called Ironclad. Have you guys heard about this?
Oh, yeah. I saw the trailer for that online.
Posted the trailer on my Facebook page and posted online. This really has the makings to be the greatest movie ever made. Okay? First of all, it's based on history. This is, you know, the English had just signed the Magna Carta. Douchebag King John is pissed about it. He's brought together some mercenaries, and there's like only 20 elite guys who are defending this castle from him, kind of making a stand. They're led by James Purefoy, who was in Solomon Kane in Rome, a great badass. He plays a Templar knight. Brian Cox. Yep, he's in it as well. Gareth from The Office is in it as the British Office, as like this top of the line archer, and Paul Giamatti plays King John, and guess who is his killer right-hand man is? Bullseye from the 13th Warrior. So this has all the trappings, and it's rated R with strong, brutal, bloody violence. The advanced reviews have said it's just ridiculous. So check out the unreleased trailer. It's coming to theaters in July, but it's going to be on video on demand on June 8th. Like a month.
Yeah, that's right. They're world premiering it on video on demand and then putting it into theaters.
Yeah, weird. So
it's a whole new media thing.
Yeah. Hobo with a Shotgun did that as well.
Yeah, and 13 Assassins, which a buddy and I rented it. So it's like $10, which is kind of pricey, but not really if you think about it. You know, so but that one, June 8th, I will spool that up for sure. So Ironclad, scope it out. Tell me what you think. I'm psyched sideways for that. So anyway, let's move on to what we've been doing for the site. So Mike, what have you got?
Let's see. Well, I just finished this week a review of the latest and possibly last season of Tim and Eric Awesome Show, Great Job. It's their fifth season. And it was okay. I kind of feel like they ran out of steam this season, and it's just like really violent and not so funny, and they retreads of a lot of jokes from previous seasons and things like that. So it has its moments, the best of which, if I can just explain, is that they had a fake trailer on there for something called Tiny Dancin' Man, which is a Tony Danson gets shrunk. And but then the best part was they had a special feature on that episode where later on in the episode, where Peter Cetera came on and sang a soundtrack song to Tiny Dancing Man, and they had a music video for it. So Peter Cetera kills it in that episode, and he sounds as good as ever. So that's on the site now, and then coming this week or early next week is a review of Reagan, a History Channel documentary.
All right,
very interesting. So
who plays Reagan?
Nobody. It's just
okay.
Yeah. just some actor named Ronald Reagan.
That's true. All right, Mac.
Let's see. What do I have? I also got another documentary, which is Genius of Britain, all about famous British scientists over the years.
Well, that's a pretty humble, unsubtle title, right?
Yes.
It's pretty interesting,
actually, especially going way, way back to like the 1600s. Scientists were pretty badass back then with all the discoveries they made. Like Halley, who discovered Halley's Comet, before he got into the stars, he rode around the oceans in his boat, and he actually fought and won battles against pirates.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, I can respect that kind of astronomy.
Yeah, that's right. So dude killed a whole bunch of pirates and made the seas safe, and then he discovered Halley's Comet. So stuff like that was really cool.
Could you imagine like having a dinner conversation with him? You know, like yeah. How are you supposed to measure up to what he has accomplished, And I was like, oh, I did well on my SATs. Well, I thought pirates are named a comet,
That's right. Yeah, it gets less interesting as it goes along. As it each episode kind of does one century, and it's like five or six scientists per episode, and they go through the centuries. And when you get to like the 19th and 20th centuries, and then they're all in the lab, and they're developing computers, and there's a lot fewer pirate battles. So, but overall, it was pretty good. I enjoyed it. And I also have a double feature from the famous B-movie producer Charles Band. You know, he doesn't get as much love as guys like Roger Corman or Jim Wynorski, but he really cranked out a lot of trashy B-movies back in the day.
Nice.
He was the head of Full Moon Video. You remember that?
Like, that sounds familiar.
And so this is two films that are Crash and Burn and Robot Wars.
Yeah, I saw that. Nice. You ended up with that. All right.
Yeah. And these are two of those titles that we always used to see on video store shelves, but nobody ever rented.
Right.
I've actually seen them now, and they're not bad. They're, you know, your low budget B movies. They rip off a lot of big blockbusters, like you know, there's a whole thing in Crash and Burn where a guy is a human, but he looks like a robot, so it's a whole Terminator kind of thing. And in order to determine who is a robot and who isn't, they have to test each other's blood. So that's kind of like from John Carpenter's The Thing. They right. do that scene. Yeah. But really, what you're really in for, you want to see the giant robots fight each other, you know. And I'm telling you, if you want the giant robot battles, you've got to wait until the last 2 minutes of each movie.
Sounds about right.
Then when you see the giant robots. But it's stop motion animation on the giant robots, which gotta love the stop motion animation. And so yeah, it's not great movies, but there's a lot of fun to be had there with the old Charles Band flicks.
Nice. All right. Well, let's see. For me, I submitted this on the site already, but Sean Bean in The Black Death. Have you heard about this one?
Oh yeah.
I had been intrigued about it for a while. It's not an action movie. It's more kind of a suspense horror. Sean Bean plays the bishop's envoy. He's got some badasses in there. It's during the 14th century with a black plague wiping everybody out, and there's rumors of a village that's untouched, and it may be because of some necromancing and whatnot. So they go investigate it, and yada, 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 someone gets drawn and quartered. So there you go.
Hey.
Yeah, so it's, I don't know, it was okay, I guess. It was okay, I suppose.
Well, it sounds interesting.
It was interesting. I'll say
that.
It
sounds more interesting than maybe it is. But
it was one of those things where, you know, guys on a mission type of movie, and then they fight some thieves, which is kind of it for action, and then they end up at the village, and then usually when you get to this creepy village with, you know, big questions surrounding it, you would think, oh, this might be pretty cool, but things just kind of grind to a halt, and I don't know. They get captured. And the villagers are kind of act douchey. And even when they try to escape, I'm still kind of lukewarm about it. I was like, I wasn't even psyched about them escaping. I wasn't really attached to any of the characters. So, I don't know, it was interesting. And, you know, hey, kind of a cool setting and a cool setup, but just never quite clicked for me. So, but that's just me. Maybe someone else enjoy it more. So, but the Black Death didn't quite land, even though Sean Bean is a man god, as we all know. So. all right, let's move right on through to our next phase here.
Okay, well, I looked up the details of my special announcement here.
And, oh, yeah? What do you got?
Yeah, my special – okay, so it's – I've talked before about the Brattle Theater in Cambridge, Massachusetts. It's a really cool movie theater.
Yes.
So Thursday, June 2nd, 7 p.m. at the Brattle Theater – The Goonies.
Oh,
the big
nice.
Screen.
Excellent.
Any special guests?
It doesn't say so, but it is. Oh, they're doing a whole series on classic Amblin films.
Oh, nice.
So we got The Goonies, Jaws, Poltergeist, Jurassic Park, Young Sherlock Holmes, and Back to the Future. Oh, and Gremlins.
Well, it's a good lineup.
Yes.
You know, I was thinking about Gremlins too recently. I don't know why.
That movie's crazy.
It is crazy. I'm a big fan of Daniel Clamp.
Yes.
So, but anyway, where are we?
Okay, where we're going next. We are going to take a look at what's coming out next week on DVD and Blu-ray. We're going to DVDverdict.com. We're going to click on the upcoming DVD releases tab, or release calendar, as it were. And from there, we're going to click on the cover art gallery for May 24th. Just now see what's on the list here. And
yeah, I see a lot of the latest thing seems to be releasing Blu-ray books. Have you noticed that?
What?
Yeah, these Blu-ray cases are like books now, like friggin' Gods and Generals, which you know run about as you know it would take you as long to read a book as to watch one of those movies. but I mean, I've seen that in other places too, they like even re-releases.
Book packaging that have like photos from the movie.
Pretty much, yeah. That seems to be the latest attempt to really build up the sales. So,
right. There's I Am Number 4.
That's
never,
right.
Never got around to seeing.
Right. I wanted to see that, but yeah, never got around to it either.
There's a whole lot of talking baseball down here.
It's like every baseball team you could ever imagine gets its own DVD release.
Whoa, talking baseball, yeah.
Yeah.
Little, how about Nanette? That's a pretty awesome cover. You see that? Nanette.
Oh. You think that's the monkey's name?
I don't know. I think so.
I mean,
probably.
Yeah.
Wait, is an orangutan a monkey or an ape? I forget.
Either way, I feel like I'm being racist, so. Being prejudiced against orangutans or apes. What is that? What is that box with a big fat belly on it? Next to Trailer Park Boys. That's it, Trailer Park Boys.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a comedy series but about Trailer Canada? Park guys.
Isn't that from Canada?
I think so, actually, yeah.
I think Alec Lifeson from Rush is on there from time to time.
Nice.
That's what I've been told. Two of them from that is a re-release of the Complete Transformers cartoon. Not in the giant box, so it's like half the price if anybody's a fan of the Transformers.
Yeah, I'm not that much of a fan, I don't think.
Nah, me neither. But
you just said you wanted to see the Michael Bay
movie. No, I'll see the Michael Bay movie. I'll invest a couple hours, but that's too much. Too much. Now, how about a big shout-out to Utica, Fish, live in Utica, October 20th, 2010 at the
there
I.
There you go.
Were you there?
I was not there. I think I'd rather pound drywall screws in with my head than watch a Fish concert, but still. Utica. Big shout out. At the Odd. The Utica Odd. Yeah.
That's cool.
For fans of Kids in the Hall, we've got all kinds of stuff from them coming out. Looks like every season, plus a complete series box set, plus their Death Comes to Town revamp. So
No one was really famous from that show, right? No one really made it huge after that. Like Dave Foley, right?
Yeah. He was pretty much the biggest one, I think.
Yeah.
And Chris McCullough shows up in a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I see a lot of those guys just showing up in things.
Right.
That's true. They never became like marquee stars, but they did good work.
Romeo and Juliet in here.
Yeah, right. That's the CGI. I missed out on that one, so don't know too much about it.
See, there's The End of Poverty? Question mark. I'm going to vote the answer is probably no. I wonder if that's the
You never know. What if this DVD changes the world?
That's possible.
Yeah. What if all the proceeds go to ending poverty? I like the DVDs for Left Brain and Right Brain of these Brainy Baby DVDs. Like Left Brain has like squares, triangles, targets.
Oh, yeah.
Right Brain has rainbows.
That's right. Left Brain, engineer. Right Brain, housekeeper. That's right. You can see like the little kid there. He's like... He's working on his algebra, you know, he's working on the theory of water displacement. On the right there, she's just like drugged out, you know.
It's sunny outside.
Yeah, even the animals, like the beaver, you know, he's an engineer, beaver, builds dams.
Builds stuff.
Stupid pig is just, I don't know what he's doing.
Just making a bet.
All right, well, ooh, Death Hunter, what do you think? That's me. Werewolves versus vampires.
I think that could possibly live up to its name there.
Death Hunter's a pretty awesome name. All right. Okay. Well, lots here. Lots of random stuff here. So if you feel compelled, purchase through DB Verdict and support us. And maybe you could pick up that sweet Molotov Cocktease statuette on the right there. Do you guys have that? The Venture Brothers Collectibles, is that on your?
Yes.
Hey, Jeff. There you go.
I don't have that.
Oh, you don't have that one?
I've got the Predator Stalker mask.
That's pretty awesome. All right, interrelease, Sleazy Sounding DVD release of the week. Mike, why don't you go first?
Every Little Thing.
Very nice. Mac?
How about Moving Violation?
I just found a great one, so that's let's good. See if Dave gets it.
Oh, I don't know. I probably don't. I'm just going to go with I Am Number 4.
Oh, I was. What about Lemonade Mouth?
That's good. That definitely sounds terrible. You win. Lemonade Mouth.
It's like a Disney Channel thing.
A Disney movie.
It's like something, you know, a cop would overhear if he's bugging a prostitute. You know, we picked up the senator for soliciting Lemonade Mouth from one of our...
As soon as we heard that, we busted down the door.
I think that's what Elliot Spitzer was nailed for. All right. Well, we can't go possibly better than that. So let's move on to our ambush topic segment where, you know, this works, random topics thrown out for fun and amusement. So, Mac, why don't you kick us off?
Okay. Let's see here. Well, having trouble coming up with a good idea this week. So what I did was... pulled out my copy of Marvel Visionaries Jack Kirby Volume 2. So pick a page number between 1 and 343.
Oh, all right, I'll go first. 212.
Okay, 212. Oh, I almost turned right to it. I was only a couple pages off. Okay.
Yeah, that could be your super. Maybe that's your superpower, turning to pages.
There you
go. First try.
All right, so on this page we have Dr. Doom, who is... proudly stating that the tide turns. Right. What movie or TV show scene does that remind you of?
Let's see. Wait a minute. Let's see. Lord of the Rings, I think. Right? Isn't there a line someone says at the turn of the tide? Right?
Oh, I think there is. Yeah.
I don't know who says it. Either Saruman or Gandalf says that.
I thought it was like Cate Blanchett says it.
Turn. No, it was a gruff male voice.
Oh, is it?
The turn of the tide. I don't know. But so I don't know if it's like from the bad guy's point of view or the good guy's point of view. I mean, it's got to be from the bad guy's point of view because we're in the turn of the tide. I think it's Gandalf then. All right, that's my guess. Gandalf, turn of the tide.
Okay.
All right, 64.
Let's see here. I turned to page 70 that time, so maybe you liked it. We're back in an old Western comic from must be like the 1940s.
All right.
So we've got the Rawhide Kid here, and the villain is throwing a rock at the Rawhide Kid. So your ambush topic is someone throwing a rock at someone else.
Jeez Louise.
Don't say the stoning of Soraya M.
So many scenes that are coming in my head, but I don't know what movies they're from. I just, all I see are reaction shots of the person getting hit with a rock and then looking up and covered in blood. I'm going to just go with The Passion of the Christ. I'm sure.
Yeah, that's true.
I think he got hit with a couple rocks.
He got hit with a couple rocks, but there's a flashback where he interceded, you know, where Mary Magdalene was about to get stoned.
That's right.
So he interceded there. So good.
There you go.
So, Mac, you want one? Us to pick a number for you?
Okay, yes. One of you guys pick a number for me. And...
Eight.
Eight. Okay. Let's see here. Okay, eight. Oh, it's an old Captain America comic from the 40s. And let's see. The Red Skull is here, and he's going over his plan. He's got a big Nazi thing on his shirt. How am I supposed to spin that into an ambush topic?
All right. Red Skull with Nazi thing on his shirt. I guess Kitty.
How about surprise Nazis? Sometime where the Nazis are not, they just show up in a movie or somebody is a Nazi and you didn't even know.
That's good.
Oh, well, the granddaddy of that topic has got to be The Rocketeer, where at the end, you know, the Rocketeer and the cops are facing off against the L.A. gangsters, and then out of absolutely nowhere, this huge blimp flies across the sky with a huge swastika on it. And everyone's like, oh no, the Nazis are attacking. I guess there was a little bit of exposition in earlier in the movie where they said it was some kind of goodwill mission, but no, it still feels like it comes out of nowhere. Nazi blimp just attacks, and
it's a testament to Nazi tactics that they can have a blimp be surprising, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
By the way, Nazi Surprise definitely sounds like a early turn of the century Broadway musical, maybe, you know?
Another thing that Elliot Spitzer might have been caught for.
That's right. Lemonade Mouth and a Nazi Surprise. All right, very good. I'll go next. Mac, you've seen Sudden Death, right?
A while ago, but yeah.
Do you have enough recollection of it?
Most of my recollections come from you guys talking about it, to be honest.
Well, fair enough. Because you saw it, Mike, and I had nothing up until that point. So if you were quantum leaping, right, and what would be the worst possible moment for you personally to quantum leap into McCord's body in Sudden Death? McCord and damn. You personally, like,
I would hate to quantum leap into Van Damme's body when he's running down like the aisles of seats, like he's hopping seats down to the ice.
Yes,
it's right before he goes into the locker room and turns into a goalie. He's being chased. He's being chased.
Time, right?
Yeah, he's being chased by goons, and there just happens to be in this sellout crowd a path of seats that are empty, leading down to the ice. And he's not taking the aisle; he's jumping from row to row, seat to seat. And so, if you quantum, but he does it perfectly. So if you quantum leaped into his body while he's doing that, I would certainly just crash.
That's right. Yeah, and you would lose valuable time. Yes. And the goons would probably catch you, right?
Yeah, and the game would probably
have ended.
Yeah, it would have ended because Ken Reggett would be in there in goal, and he would have let a goal in.
All right, Mac, is this a too tough one, or you got something?
Well, jumping right ahead from that, we do have the moment where he's in disguise as a goalie, and he's out on the ice.
Yeah.
That would be bad news for me. I've learned the hard way that I am one crappy goalie, and so that'd be bad news. Either be a crappy goalie and lose the game, or go face off with the terrorists and have them kill you. It's a no-win situation, is what that is.
Well, since we'll go chronological order. So we've got pre-goalie, then we have goalie on the ice. I'm going to go post-goalie on the ice, where he's fighting that guy in his goalie regalia. You know?
That's right.
I mean, he does this one kick with all the pads on. I still don't know how he does that physically, right?
I don't know. Yeah, I've wondered that too. Goalies pull groins doing that.
I mean, there's so much equipment on a goalie. I'm always shocked when I see those guys skating around. I mean, so yeah, I would not, if I quantum leaped in that moment, that guy would surely have killed me. Surely have killed me. So, and that'd be it. The helicopter would fly away, and my stupid kid would stay in his seat while everything blew up around him. The end.
What a dumb kid.
Dumb kid, indeed. all right. Man, I'll just talk about Sudden Death. Need to go see it now. But anyway, Mike, wrap us up.
Okay. So pick a movie and tell me what kind of stinger would be at the end of the credits if you stuck around to the end of the credits for a movie that does not have something at the end of it already.
Nice.
So usually it could be some sort of surprise. It can be some sort of twist, or
right,
maybe some sort of hint at a sequel.
This is like an improv game that you would do, you know, with your crew.
It is.
Is it really?
It isn't, but it can't be now.
It should be. That's a good one. You know, you gotta have the audience shot on movies, and you guys can do it. Man.
Okay, let's
hope you write this down, Mike, because that's a great idea.
Yeah.
All right, Mike, you got something?
Yeah, let's go with Predator.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
At the end of the credits, suddenly, you know, the credits roll, and then suddenly, boom, we're in New York City. And there's Donald Glover. And he's like, oh, man, it's so hot. You know, the heat waves in the city. And then he looks up, and he sees a strange light in the sky. And we get set up for the memorable sequel.
Yes. All right, well, I've talked at length about this film. I might as well revisit it. Silver Dream Racer, yes, anybody? one of my favorite downer movies of all time. If you recall, if you need your little memory freshener, this is our hero is trying to win back, like, he gets a motorcycle that his brother designed. His brother died, and he's trying to win this race against Beau Bridges. And he's in the final race, and, you know, he's going to cross the finish line. Everyone's happy and cheering for him. And the American version, it cuts just as he crosses the finish line. And in the actual Australian full-length version, it goes on a little further, and you find out that he dies horribly in a motorbike crash. So I think the only way to make it more depressing would be at the end of the credits, you found out he's still alive, barely, and as he drags his charred, broken body out, he gets run over by the pacer car.
So you sit through all the credits just for that, dude.
That's right.
It's awesome.
Like, if you haven't opened up an artery yet, you know, because it's so depressing. By the way, that's rated PG, FYI.
Oh, wow.
And it is genuinely horrifying. It is genuinely horrifying, so...
I just wanted to go with Titanic, and you know, at the end of the credits, it could work one of two ways. Either the submarine people would find it at the end, or just it's, you know, the end of the credits, and there you see the water there, and then that old lady's zombie hand comes up out of the water, clutching the blue jeweled necklace.
That's awesome. That's great.
Like the end of Carrie, kind of.
Exactly. Exactly, because there is a Titanic 2 I keep seeing on Netflix, and I haven't watched it yet. I have a feeling it's not that, though.
So at the end, it says the end, and then woo with a question mark, you know, like in Flash Gordon. Awesome. Nice. All right, well, and that brings us to the end of this edition of the Friday Filibuster. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Mac. Big thanks to Mike for rejoining the crowd. Always glad to have you aboard.
Great to be here.
Good luck enjoying your fantastic couch. Hopefully it's not a sentient alien life form from a doomed planet, and you're going to be fighting evil furniture, transforming furniture out there. So
I think we're onto something.
Good luck, yes. Fan fiction. Transforming furniture fan fiction. So the Furnitrons, I guess, versus the Barca Lounge Trons. I don't know. All right. So thank you for sticking with us. Have a great weekend. Mac, take it away.
If it bleeds, we can kill it.